ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers, it is as I mentioned, one of the purposes of Ramadan al-Kareem to reflect on ourselves, on our ibadat, on our akhlaq, mu'amilat, and see what we need to do to improve them. And so therefore, let us look at our salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the salah in his kitab, and Allah mentioned three kinds of salah. It is for us to try to see where we fit in and what we need to do. One salah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, where he said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ. Allah said, woe to the people who pray. Woe to the people who pray, meaning rejected are those people. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. The people who delay their salah. Who delay their salah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ. And who pray to show others. So two things have been mentioned with regard to salah. One is unnecessarily delaying the prayer. There is only one reason for delaying, and that is for personal convenience. Nobody delays for any other reason. It's personal convenience. And this is not just strongly discouraged, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specifically mentioned it as the reason for rejection of salah. So delaying for the sake of convenience, you've got some meeting, this, that. And usually delays happen with respect to Zuhr and Asr. People feel, without time, you know, there is time, well, pray. In Islam, important to understand that in some cases, even more than the action itself, it is the attitude which creates that reaction. It's attitude which creates that kind of action. That attitude is even more harmful. For example, the way in which we try to differentiate between sins which are major and minor. And this is the misuse of fiqh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention major and minor sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Allah does not like such and such. Allah did not say Allah does not like this one a little bit and he doesn't like the other one a little bit more. No, Allah does not like. So as far as the Sahaba were concerned, the moment they got a message to say Allah does not like something, they did not do it. They did not go into this whole issue of, you know, is it a small sin, kabira or saghira, or is it makruh? And in the makruh, is it makruh tahrimi or makruh tanzihi or what? They didn't fall into all this fiqhi istilahat. Those istilahat did not even exist. Now, the fact that they do exist is, alhamdulillah, it's a benefit, because the purpose of all these is basically to decide what punishment is to be given for what crime. Obviously, you can't give the same punishment for everything. So, in order to differentiate, the purpose of this differentiation was never meant to for the individual to make halal on himself what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. That was not the purpose anyway. To say that this is a minor sin, therefore it is okay. That's the major one, therefore I will not do it. And it's very interesting to think, for example, lying is a major sin. Ghiba is a major sin. It's not a minor sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically prohibited ghibat in the Quran. So even with the major and minor, we are not even applying, you know, the actual major and minor. We apply whatever we feel like, you know, something we like to do. If I don't make ghibat now, what happens to my social life? You know, what do I talk? So this is the way in which we treat our religion, which is very shameful, to put it politely. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the case of salah is saying that woe to the musalleen who delay their salah. So the attitude of delaying, what is salah? Salah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission to come into his presence to come into his darbar, to come into his mercy, compulsorily 5 times a day. And of course, there is no limit on this. You can pray as much as you want. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's door is always open. But 5 times is the formal appearance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if somebody is delaying that, effectively, what are you saying? Allah called me, but yeah, wait, I'll go. I'll go when I feel like going. I'll go when it's convenient for me. Let him wait. That's exactly what you are. That is exactly what we are saying. Let him wait. I will go when I have to go. And that is why, even though delaying of salah might seem like a small thing, it is not a small thing. The second one, of course, is, I think, fairly clear. Praying to show people. Either praying to show people in terms of khirat, for example, if you recite well, and you have this thing in the heart that, you know, I should recite because there are so many people and, you know, they will think it's a good thing. Or in terms of the outward appearance of piety, where you look very pious because you are praying there. This sometimes also happens in terms of how we speak. And, you know, somebody says, please make dua for me. And you say, inshallah, aaj tahajjud mein aapke liye dua karenge. I'll make dua for you in tahajjud. So now you are telling the person that you are actually praying tahajjud. Now, I'm saying that we sometimes say these things unintentionally. It's not because of that intention. But irrespective of that, tahajjud is supposed to be a salah which is between you and Allah. Why do you want to tell the world about it? For what? You pray, alhamdulillah, we should pray. But there's no need to tell the whole world that you are praying tahajjud. Because then it's possible that it falls into this category of praying to show people. So all these kinds of even statements which we make, which make public our ibadat. So this is one kind of salah. And that's why Rasulullah ﷺ said there is this kind of salah which does not even go, but doesn't even rise above the head of the person. And he said that it is taken like a dirty cloth and it is thrown back in the face of the person. So it doesn't even, it doesn't even go beyond the head of the person. So, let alone being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this kind of salah. There is another kind of salah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Ankabut, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." Now, this is the second kind of salah, and is also in this beautiful ayat of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave us a criterion to judge the quality of our salah. Like the first one, this is also judgment of quality of salah. So also in this, Allah said, verily the salah is that which separates the person, tanha anil fahshai wal munkar, separates the person from shameless things and from prohibited things. Now this also shows that shamelessness is a particularly bad prohibition, particularly important prohibition, because when you say munkar, what is the fahushat are also munkarat. So, but specifically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that. So, therefore, salah is that which separates from this. So, now if you find, and some people I have heard this comment a couple of times, they say, oh, you know, I've got this friend of mine who is very particular with his salah. All his 5 salawat, he prays regularly. He will pray Isha and then he goes to the casino and then he comes back in time for Fajr. Now, what salah is that? What salah is that? We know people, for example, who will go in Secunderabad club and in the card room and they are playing, cards for money and they carry their musalla with them. And at the time of salah, they will put the musalla in the card room and they will pray. It says, namaz ke bade pakke paband hai sir. Wo card room mein bhi namaz padte. I mean, supposing I tell you that somebody is praying in the bar, you will say, oh, you know, arre la hawla khota gaya ghaliz baat, what kind of a dirty person is that? He prays in the bar. Believe me, in terms of Islam, there is no difference between praying in the bar and praying in a room which is meant for gambling. Absolutely no difference. This is also haram, that is also haram. We choose what we want to make more haram than something else because it doesn't suit our lifestyle. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go by our criteria. You want to make something, you know, because it's part of your social environment, therefore you feel that, no, this is fine. And this other one, it's not part of your social environment. But please understand that Allah is not bound by our false standards. What is haram is haram. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned these things as being haram. Khamar wal maisir wal azlam wal ansab. And Allah called them rijusum min amali shaitan fajtanibu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said these are the filthiest and dirtiest things from the amal of shaitan. From the action of shaitan. And Allah said, stay far away from them. Fajtanibuhu. Stay far away from them. Don't even go near them. Gambling is that bad. Now, whether you're gambling on with cards, or whether you're gambling on horses in a race course, or whether you're gambling, we don't have dog racing here, but if you go to the UK and so on, you have greyhound racing. So if you go, when you're gambling on that, whether you're gambling in cricket or on football, and there is gambling now today on practically anything you name. Everyone who sits and watches World Cup football, please understand, the actual game there is gambling. It's nothing to do with football. It's to do with the billions of dollars worth of gambling that goes on football. You know and I know, last World Cup, there was this octopus which was supposed to tell you the future of, you know, which team will win. And billions of dollars were bet on what this octopus will pick up. And this is our so-called scientific world. Believes what an octopus will pick up. Completely insane. That is the actual racket. When you go and watch World Cup football, when you're watching ODI cricket and whatnot, you are fueling that gambling machine. Why is that so popular? Because you're sitting in front of the television watching it. ODI cricket and football has nothing to do with the game. It has to do with television. It has to do with turning a physical sport into a spectator event, which generates revenues in multiple ways. One way in which it generates revenues is through advertising on primetime television. Who makes it primetime? You. It becomes primetime because you're watching it. Well, what is the meaning of primetime? Maximum viewership. Primetime can be anything. Primetime can be 3 o'clock in the night. If enough people are watching, primetime can be absolutely. Primetime is defined in the basis of TRP ratings. And the TRP ratings are the number of people watching. So therefore, you are the one making it prime time. And because you make it prime time, the TV stations benefit because they charge that much more on advertising. And then they charge, and that's where the gambling happens. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what is the salah? Salah is that which separates you from this, which keeps you apart from that. So we need to watch our salah. I am praying, plus I am also indulging in fawshat wal munkarat. Shameless things. Imagine, every time you see a cricket match, you got some monkeys dancing in every break. What is the need for that? Just think about what does that have to do with the game of cricket? There is only one reason why that is there. You're watching Wimbledon tennis? Women's Wimbledon tennis is soft porn. See the positioning of the cameras. What is the camera trying to catch? I mean, I don't want to sit in the masjid and describe. You know what it is, right? Everything. This is the problem of today's world. Even things which normally should be fine, which should be okay to watch, they have turned it into something which is fawshat. There's some element of shamelessness which comes into it. And this has resulted in our hearts becoming used to that. We have become accustomed to that. At least some of us here are old enough to remember a time when to go to a movie, to talk about going to a movie, in front of our parents was to invite disaster on our heads. Some of us. Today, the same parents and grandparents have absolutely no shame in sitting in the house, watching television with their grandchildren, with their children, and there is every conceivable kind of filth that is there on the television, they sit and they watch. And I've had this, I've mentioned this before, somebody once told me, he said, please speak to my children, they watch television too much. So I said, absolutely no problem, I will definitely talk to them, tell me which one of them bought this TV. I should talk to that one first. No, makes sense, no? I mean, you want me to tell your children not to watch television. So I said, which one of them bought the TV? Tell me that, point out that person. Is it your 5-year-old? Is it your 10-year-old? Is it your 15-year-old? Who bought the TV? So I'll speak to them first. You buy the TV, you get the cable connection, you put it into you create a room in your house called TV room. What do you think TV stands for? Tahajjud and Witr. TV room, Tahajjud and Witr. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. Then you say, children are walking, watching. Obviously, they're watching TV. What do you want them to do? You bring it, you put it there, you don't want them to watch. Tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about another salah. May Allah grant us all of this. This relates specifically to tahajjud, but it also speaks about the attitude, the khushu, the state of the inner state of the worshipper. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَتَمَعًا. Allah said, these are the people who stand up in the night. So specific reference to tahajjud. And what is the state? How do they stand in the night? بَيْنَ الْخَوْفِ وَتَمَعًا. The state is between fear and hope. Fear of the punishment of Allah, and hope in the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is interestingly the state of the believer in which he or she should be all the time. Bain al khawfi wa tama. There was one of the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they came and told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said he is dying. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to see him, and he was a young man. I don't know what, maybe some illness he had, wallahu alam. So Rasulullah asked him, he said, how are you? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I fear the punishment of Allah, that Allah will hold me to account. And I hope, however, that Allah will forgive me. So Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from that which you fear, and He will give you what you hope for, inshallah. So the position of the Muslim is between bain al khawfi wa tama'a, between fear of displeasing Allah and hope in the forgiveness and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To leave either of these is to fall into the trap of shaitan. To leave either of this, either to leave the fear of punishment of Allah, are hawa yaro Allah ghafur rahim hai, hamare Hyderabad istilah mein. Do whatever you want, any amount of haram. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor rahim. And this is to fall into the trap of shaitan. And vice is in the same way, the other side, which is to fall into the trap where you lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Inna allaha yaghfiru zunuba jami'a. Innahu huwa al-ghafoor rahim. Definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all sins. And Allah is Ghafur Rahim. If you make tawbah, there is no sin that Allah will not forgive. There are many sins Allah forgives even without tawbah. And this is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time we make wudu, Allah forgives sins. You smile at a brother, Allah forgives sins. You shake hands with a brother, Allah forgives sins. Between in salah, in sujood, Allah forgives sins. In ruku, Allah forgives sins. When you stand up and say, Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana laka alhamd, Allah forgives sins. The Imam says, Ameen, you say Ameen. The two Ameens coincide, Allah forgives sins. And so on and so on and so on. So many places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins even without tawbah being made. But then there are other sins for which tawbah is a condition. But if we make tawbah, there is no sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive. Of course, the conditions of tawbah and so on, we I won't go into that now. But therefore, to lose hope in the mercy of Allah is kufr. Therefore, we don't fall into that. And at the same time, to lose the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment is completely insane. We don't fall into that either. So, to the position of the Muslim is between these two extremes in the middle. And that is the condition of the salah. And this is the salah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah said, if they know what kind of reward I have kept for them for this kind of salah, it will be the coolness of their eyes. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah said, if the person knows what kind of reward I have kept for this kind of salah, it will be the coolness of their eyes. We ask Allah to give us that reward, inshallah. And to enable us to wake up in the night, especially for tahajjud, to wake up in the night. As I said, Ramadan is all about training. Alhamdulillah, you will see here from tonight when we start tahajjud, the place will be full. People come. Now think about this. In Ramadan, you are willing to come from your house, wherever your house is, except for the mutakifin, everybody else is coming. So you are willing in Ramadan, you are willing to come from wherever your house is at 2 o'clock in the night, go to the masjid and pray tahajjud by jama'ah. What about the rest of the time where you only have to get out of your bed and stand by the side of your bed and pray? You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything in your own house. How many of us pray tahajjud throughout the year? So make this into a habit, a lifelong habit that we should continue throughout the year of praying tahajjud. I'm not saying go and pray the masjid. In your own home. In your own home. Alhamdulillah, Allah gives us the opportunity to do that in Ramadan, in jama'ah, but on normal times, do it in your own house. But do it, because that is the whole point of this. You taste the sweetness of it, then you must get addicted to that sweetness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us salah which is accepted by Him, to grant us salah in which our du'as will be accepted. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to taste the sweetness of salah and to make this into a lifelong investment in ourselves. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our salawat and to forgive us all our mistakes and to accept them, to perfect them and to accept them as it is His right that He should be worshipped. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.